superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
I'm excited for this one, man.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Who does Boston and New England miss more? Brady or Mookie? You want to chime in on that? Yeah. Chop that one up.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Brady's kind of a weird guy. But Mookie Betts, this guy was just starting.
Earlier on the show, Philadelphia Eagles head coach Doug Peterson, legendary broadcaster Bob Costas. Coming up, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Our phone lines are lit. We're going to get to you in a second. Ian Rappaport's going to join us in the middle of this hour as the trade deadline is 4 days away. Week eight begins tonight on Fox, NFL Network, Amazon Prime with the Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. What a great chat with Bob Costas last hour talking about the World Series and how he thinks the Kevin Cash removal of Blake Snell will be something talked about forever and a day, which is not new, but he also thinks that it is a moment that will cause the analytics-driven individuals that are running the sport to rethink about making every moment fit all based on the numbers. And I think managers are basically going to have to take back their dugout. And the way things are going right now, they'll make a movie about baseball. You know, like Moneyball 2 with far worse actors. It'll be
no Brad Pitt.
No Brad Pitt, by the way. I mean, look, any movie that has Philip Seymour Hoffman as Art Howe, you're that's next level.
He looks just like him.
Okay, that's next level.
Rest in peace.
I know.
Yeah, man.
But there'll be a new movie where managers in the dugout. And the phone call comes from upstairs from the Ivy League, because everybody hates smart elite people who are expert at what they do in the 21st century these days. And they call down and say, what are you doing? Why are you leaving the pitcher in? You know what the statistics are. Camera zooms in. Manager says, damn you to hell. Hangs up the phone.
Well, Art Howe was basically like that in Moneyball.
Oh, I'm saying it's Moneyball 2. It's a worse version of it. It's like the Caddyshack 2 version of Caddyshack. The Sting 2.
There was a Sting 2?
Oh, yes. Starring Jackie Gleason and Mac Davis. Oh my gosh. Talk about a movie that should never have been made.
Best to be left unsaid.
Tell me if I'm wrong. Jackie Gleason and Mac Davis in The Sting 2 should not have been made.
It's terrible.
Oh, my God. How do you look at the Sting? I know it made money, but how do you say, you know what? Let's run it back. Let's run it back. No Mac Newman, Davis. But Jackie Gleason. Yeah. And no Redford, but Mac Davis.
And Terry Garr.
Oh, she's phenomenal.
Oliver Reed.
You went higher ladder.
He was in Gladiator.
Oh, okay, very good.
Rockman knows it.
Okay. So before we get to Ian Rappaport and before we get to the news update, let's get some phone calls. Some people have been kind enough to hang on for some time. Let's go to Terry in Tampa, Florida. We've been talking about different types of pizzas and what our poll question is. How you been, Terry?
Excellent. How you doing, Mr. Rich?
I'm fine, sir. What's going on in your mind? You want to talk about different pizzas? Because we're talking about pizza fouls, the biggest pizza foul of all time.
You know, I've said this to you before, and I'll say it again. You and your three right-hand men are at the top of the chain. I'm retired, and I have the privilege of watching your show and Dan Patrick and Florio and Sims and Paul Feinbaum, and you guys are the best.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you consuming Peacock. It's the future, and we love being on it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I don't want to promo Peacock, but what a great idea. Free, and it's free.
Look at you. That's, by the way, that's anyway, that's a new drop for us that you just sold it. So what is on your mind? What do you got for me?
Well, in 1985, I went to see every single baseball team play in every single stadium.
Okay.
It took me 89 days and 15,200 miles on my little Mazda RX-7.
How amazing
and
is that?
With a tent for KOAs. And I kept a log about who had the best pizza. Three things. Who had the best pizza, who had the best beer, and don't judge me, but who had the best-looking women.
Okay.
So
no judgment.
Of all the pizza, there's six different kinds of pizzas in the United States. There's New York, there's Chicago, there's California, there's St. Louis, there's New Haven, and now there's Detroit pizza, which is making a big splash.
Okay.
And obviously, New York pizza is the best because, yes, as you all said earlier,
yes,
folding over a New York pizza and taking a bite is,
yes,
gosh, it's the top three things in life.
I'm afraid to ask what the other two are based on your parsing out of what you found on driving around the United States. But I agree with you. I absolutely, yeah, agree with you. So you're an expert at this. And so what,
Chicago
pizza is great too. I mean, I loved it when I spent, yeah, when I spent some time there. Gino's East was amazing. Obviously Giordano's, Lou Malnati's. I mean, we could go on and on. I mean, that's great stuff. I agree.
And Giordano's, believe it or not, for me, was the best pizza that I tasted in the United States. I went to, wow, Frank Pepe's and Sally's in New Haven. Great. Mm, okay. The clam pizza is stands out by itself.
Well, Terry, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Yep. Call back. Call back.
Yes, sir.
Certainly,
yes, sir.
Since you're out there watching every day, we appreciate it. It's Terry and the reason why we brought this up is Ben DiNucci, it looks like, is going to start for the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. This is how, in case you're just joining us, this is the way our twisted minds work here on the show. And it sounds like it's somebody you grew up with.
Or it's a pizzeria in North Jersey.
Or it's a pizzeria is what
you
said. So then we started talking about, hey, we're going to DiNucci's tonight. Or Ben DiNucci sounds like somebody who held me upside down in gym class in junior year of high school as well.
Shook you
know, from Staten
money.
Island. Hey, don't mess with Ben DiNucci.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
DiNucci.
So what's our poll question as it currently stands right now, Chris?
Okay, so I said, what's the biggest pizza foul, worst pizza foul? Eating with a fork and knife, putting pineapple on it, and adding anchovies. That leads the way, anchovies, 43%. Eating with a fork and knife, 30%. Pineapple, 27%.
It's, I don't, anchovies is leading the league right now, huh?
Anchovies lead the way.
We knew this was going to shake Al out of his slumber or whatever he's doing right now. Al in Dallas, how you been, Al? What's going on?
I'm doing great. De Blasio-ing, if that's a verb, pizza with a knife and fork, especially New York style, is completely unacceptable.
It is. It's like you're a psychopath.
I mean, that's as old as pizza, right? I mean, that's been going on forever. Better in a Caesar salad than on a pizza. But yeah, you can't De Blasio a New York slice.
And honestly, that you get a slice of pizza in New York City, and you grab for cutlery, you should literally be jailed on the spot. Honestly,
yeah. It's like chasing down Product 19 with prune juice.
You know Product 19, Al, right? You know that cereal. You must know it.
Oh, I know it. I was more of a Count Chocula and Tang guy.
I got it.
I wasn't doing Product 19 and prune juice.
Very good. Thanks for the call, Al. We're looking at one of the advertisements for Product 19 back in the day. Not helping the cause for me right now.
Looks, I found the commercial with Tom Harmon. We're effing that.
Okay, fantastic.
Later.
Look, yeah. You know, this looks like Bill Nye, the science guy, right?
Vitamins that taste too good to forget.
It's so good.
What is the red string around his finger?
To make him not forget.
Don't forget. You won't forget your vitamins. Forget. The string around your finger is something you don't know this, huh?
Uh-oh.
To remember something. If you forgot something, it would remind you, oh, I got to do something. You put a string around
it. What if
finger.
You forgot why you just, tied the
Well, string. Then obviously you're in a riptide.
Got it.
It's a problem. The reason why we're on cereal is because Josh Allen came on yesterday's show. We're going to try Josh's Jacks that he says is an Applejack type situation. And by the way, Count Chocula is next level. It goes along with the brethren of Frankenberry and Booberry.
Booberry's my all-time favorite cereal.
And by the way, I will say this with the ultimate of respect. So you know I'm about to say something disrespectful. There used to be a booth of Dick Stockton, Brian Billick, and Brian Baldinger for Fox. When they showed him in the booth, it did look like Frankenberry, Boo Berry, and Count Chocula.
That's true.
Really?
Yes.
Which is which?
Dick Stockton was Count Chocula. Okay. Brian Billick was Frankenberry.
All right.
And Baldinger was Boo Berry. I defy you to Google a photograph and tell me I'm wrong.
He's dead.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm Google, Brian Billick
Google
is
photograph. I defy you. Google a photograph and find a photograph that exists of Stockton, Billick, and Baldinger in a booth, and you tell me it is not the trio of cereals that I'm referring to. Tell me I'm wrong. Anybody.
What does that make Baldy's finger?
I don't know. You can't tie anything to it to remember it. All right, then.
Oh, my gosh.
Whew. Let's. Are you ready for a news update over there, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I've got stuff.
Let's go to it. Let's go to a news update here on the Rich Eisen Show.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever.
It's Chris Brock.
Pull yourself together.
Just,
there's no way I'm wrong. Somebody's going to find this photograph.
It's Frankenberry.
Somebody's going to find this photograph, and you will agree.
All right, let's just start with that. We talked about it at the end of last hour, but that Chris Jones quote just needs to be brought back again. So Chris Jones of the Kansas City Chiefs was asked about the Jets and said that's, quote, a very good football team. People forget that because they haven't won a game. Just an all-timer.
In terms of talking up the opponent,
oh my gosh,
to make sure that everyone understands you respect them and that nobody's overlooking them because you don't want to give them any bulletin board material, any reason to finally pull it together, that's an all-timer. Honestly, like Lou Holtz is jealous. He didn't think of that while trying to talk up the winless team they scheduled to warm up for Michigan.
I feel like this is about to be in the sports world like a meme. Like, people forget Angola. That's a great basketball team. They just
haven't won a game.
They just lost by 80.
That's right. You just forget that they haven't not lost by 80. Yeah.
Okay, some injury updates. Christian McCaffrey is not expected to play tonight.
The miracle
Thursday
of
night
Mike
football
Davis.
Against the Falcons. Mike Davis. Rolls on for another week for you fantasy owners.
The carriage is not yet a pumpkin for his fantasy value.
Yeah, as we hear from Mike McCarthy.
Unbelievable.
Andy Dalton.
What a run.
Still in concussion protocol. Did not practice today. Does look like Ben DiNucci is going to start against the Eagles on Sunday. Also in that Jets-Chiefs game, Jameson Crowder did get in a limited practice session today, so he's trending in the right direction. Sammy Watkins for the Chiefs did not practice, so he's still sidelined. Some Patriots news. Going to be some crazy weather in that Pats-Bills game. 50-mile-an-hour gusts and some rain.
Say that again?
45 to 50-mile-per-hour wind gusts in Buffalo this week. Oof. High 30s, rain. It's going to be an ugly, ugly game. Pats are going to do it without Julian Edelman. He underwent a precautionary standard knee procedure this morning, per sources around the league. Expected to sideline Edelman for, quote, some period of time. Not going to end his season, but he is going to be out a while. According to Mike Reese, healthy Patriots receivers coming into this game, Damir Bird, Jacoby Myers, Gunnar Olszewski.
Good luck.
Good luck, Cam.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. They're going to start thinking about tanking for Trevor, aren't they? They're going to start thinking that way, huh?
I'm telling you, where do their wins come from? They still play the Jets twice.
And I'll say this about something about my team, please? Would you just let me say something
well,
about
it's your
my
show,
team.
Rich,
no,
so.
I appreciate that, but I just need a couple seconds here to just, I don't want to sound like Chris Jones here, all right? But this Denzel Mims is finally healthy, right? This kid who they drafted out of Baylor. Out of all the morass and the garbage and the crap that's been going on, this kid Jeff Smith has shown. I don't know if you've watched any Jets games.
I don't, but I've seen the stats.
He has shown some ability. And if Crowder and Perriman can stay healthy for two friggin' seconds, I'm going to do it. It's not a bad wide receiver core.
Wow.
That's not that bad.
I'm allergic to that wide
receiver. Did you go up?
I did go up.
Okay.
And people forget the Jets are a very good football team because they haven't won a game. It is so fantastic.
People forget that.
I'm wondering if you're on that Zoom and you're writing it down, do you have one of those moments where he says it and you go, you got to just like sink in, or do you start laughing right away?
I would laugh immediately, but I would
just like
I'd make sure my computer's on
that.
Mute.
Oh my gosh!
What if that was a joke though?
I don't think it's a joke.
I would write something like that as a joke.
It is not. He is.
Yeah, I think
he's not. He's joking.
All right. Speaking of teams tanking for Trevor Lawrence, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Gardner Minshew had X-rays this week, revealed multiple fractures.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And a strained ligament in his right thumb.
Oh man.
He's been feeling discomfort since October 11.
Oh boy.
Didn't know the extent until this week. So
yeah, they're on a bye.
Looks like McGlennon coming out of the
Mike Glennon, everybody.
Glennon.
That's why I'm saying the Jets got to keep on keeping on, because there's a lot of teams that are going to start. There's a lot of teams coming for Trevor Lawrence.
As you mentioned, Tom Brady, NFC Offensive Player of the Month for October 11th time. He's won this award.
But first for the
first time
conference.
In the NFC, obviously. Yeah. He hasn't won since November of 2017. Breaking baseball news, White Sox hired a manager. Tony La Russa's back. He is your new White Sox manager, Chicago White Sox. Baseball Hall of Famer. Tony La Russa.
I say this. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Dead serious. Tweeted out by the team.
You're serious?
About 5 minutes ago.
76 not lying years old. No.
Tony La Russa.
How?
70. It's
how? I don't have words for it, actually. Tony La Russa's getting back in the dugout?
He is 76. He went into the Hall of Fame in 2014.
He knows what Product 19 is.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, he was, a White Sox manager before, and oh, my God.
Third winningest manager in Major League history.
What a surprise. I don't have any words for it.
Yeah, according to Bob Nightingale, they never interviewed A.J. Hinch. He is the Tigers' number one candidate.
Let me ask you this question. Could you add up the ages of their top three best players and it would reach La Russa's?
No, it would not.
No.
Right?
It would not.
So, I guess having an older hand at the job, how do you relate to a 22-year-old?
Get good bench coaches.
I wonder if La Russa is still pissed at me because I got a fax about McGuire's retirement that I broke that news on ESPN. Let's get him on. I'll ask him.
Hey, man, he was the White Sox manager 41 years ago.
Yeah. His entire roster was not born when he was the White Sox manager.
Here's something funny about that, Chris. Someone that you and I both follow on Twitter yesterday posted, "I will run through my neighborhood drunk and naked if the White Sox hire Tony La Russa."
Who said this?
That's how confident I am that it's still not happening.
Who said this?
This is someone that Chris and I follow on Twitter. It was a female, put this on Twitter. She was so confident.
Well, she's getting ready to be stark raving mad.
Yeah.
Because
Will Ferrell in
That is such a stunner.
All right, so two things real quick. That Roy Jones-Mike Tyson fight that's going down, it's going to be November 28th at Staples Center, which has not had an event in quite some time. And lastly, our good buddy Zlatan had some advice for everyone out there dealing with COVID-19. The virus has challenged me, and I won, but you are not Zlatan. Do not challenge the virus. Use your head. Respect the rules. Social distancing and masks, always.
They just, there's just one thing that's missing from that, as we all know. The virus has challenged me, and I won. How does he not go third person? The virus has challenged Zlatan,
well,
and Zlatan won.
Well, he did go third person
but
immediately
you are not
after.
But you are not Zlatan.
You are not Zlatan.
That's one of the best tweets ever.
By the way, his departure from the Los Angeles soccer scene was
devastating.
It was epic. If I'm not mistaken, he strolled off the LAFC field, showing off the Zlatan Franken beans with his hand. Right? Didn't he do that? Didn't he basically grab himself and just. And show that off to the fans?
By the way, Zlatan Frankenbeans.
Zlatan Frankenbeans.
Is a new one.
Write that down.
Has anybody found this photograph? I'm telling you.
I've been looking.
It must
I can't
exist.
Find Rich. I've been looking.
I see Stockton and Baldinger and Stockter and Billick, but I Stockton.
I haven't seen them all three together.
Three of them were together.
but I'm not going to be able to unsee.
I wrote about it in a column for NFL.com a long time ago. I'm essentially recycling material. Yes. But it exists.
15-year-old.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Ian Rappaport with the latest on what's going on with COVID-19, with the Giants and the Chargers. And Ben DiNucci, is he going to start Sunday Night Football? All that and more with the NFL Network Insider when we come back. You know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to GEICO. It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. No, GEICO can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in oversized pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Stop waking up at night in a cold sweat, people, wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to GEICO and save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Cowboys, Eagles, Sunday Night Football, 7 Eastern Time. We had a great chat with Doug Peterson in hour number one. If you missed it, you can watch our entire show back on our show page right here on Peacock. Just go to the top here. I guess maybe I can do this right here. I think it's if you go to the bar at the top, I think it's right here, right? Sports is right here.
Oh, nice.
I think Channels is right here.
Yeah. Channels is there, yeah.
Channels is there.
Yep. Sarah knows I understand the product on which the show resides. Channels is here. Sports is here. You go right here, and then you hit that button. But don't do that now because it takes you off the channels part where you're watching us right now. And then you find our page, and then you can watch us. And I'm sure there'll be many clips of the interview that we're about to have all sliced up because it's filled and chock full of nuggets, and it'll also be entertaining. Also be entertaining. Do we have the milk ready for Josh's Jacks? We do that,
we
right?
We do have it. Yes.
So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this interview back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. On our Peacock. We'll do this interview, then we'll take a break in which we'll eat some Josh's Jacks and
awesome.
Then finish up
nice.
The show
Let's
on Peacock. Go. Fantastic. Joining us here right now from the NFL Media Group, my compadre, NFL Insider, Ian Rappaport. How are you, brother?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm just trying to figure out if Ben DiNucci is really going to get a start on Sunday Night Football. Reading your tweet from earlier before, it sure sounds like it, right? We have no sense of where Dalton specifically is in the protocol, do we?
I mean, it's interesting because, Rich, first of all, the answer to your question is probably yes. It does sound like we're going to get a lot of Ben DiNucci on Sunday night, much more Ben DiNucci than we ever planned on having and certainly much more than the Cowboys planned on having. The concussions are tough to report on because – you can't look at anything and see. I can't talk to a doctor and see how he's doing. And if a player's feeling good, it doesn't necessarily matter. What we do know is where they've progressed in the protocol. So it's Thursday today. I think all day it's going to be Thursday. Andy Dalton still has not practiced. That makes it highly, highly unlikely that he is going to be able to play because what would have to happen is he'd have to practice, he'd have to get cleared for contact, and then he'd have to get cleared by the independent neurologist, there just isn't enough time. So as of right now, it's considered unlikely that Andy Dalton plays on Sunday night.
So the protocol requires him to return to practice and get out there and practice with his teammates. He can't just fly to Philadelphia with the team and work it out on the field like it's a hamstring or anything like that?
Right. Right. I mean, these are all steps in the return to play protocol. And I mean, we'll see what happens, but I'd be surprised if he ends up flying also, because if he's not fully cleared, like, we're going to know at least before the flight takes off whether or not Andy Dalton is playing on Sunday, because if he's allowed to fly, that almost certainly means he's playing.
Oh, my word. What are the Dallas Cowboys going to do? I mean, 2-6 is so beyond the level of what was expected of this team, and understand the injuries like Dax are significant, and the offensive line is as well. But, as I told Doug Peterson when he was on in hour number one, the Cowboys are banged up. But as the kids would say, hold my beer, as he would say. I mean, so 2-6 is what it is. I mean, is it safe to say that they're questioning their hiring of Mike McCarthy?
They're not going to say, yep, got it wrong. I think, in the building, they're more focused on just fixing the football rather than second-guessing their own hire. I mean, it'd be crazy to think that anyone is jumping up and down and saying, yeah, we definitely got the right guy. I also think that, you know, how Mike McCarthy and how his staff handle this is going to really go a long way in determining did the Cowboys get the right guy or not. Like, teams go through some stuff. I mean, you know, the Eagles are flying high now because they won a game, but, like, you know, they lost, you know, some big-time offensive linemen, too. They've lost basically all their receivers. They've lost a ton of people. But Doug Peterson, who, of course, has won a Super Bowl, as is Mike McCarthy, but Doug Peterson has won one recently. He handles it enough to get his team out there and somehow win despite having, like, no players. The Cowboys need a similar response from Mike McCarthy if this thing is, you know, going to continue more than a year. I mean, right now it is, I think it's safe to say, really none of it's been good.
It's interesting you say what you don't know what else Jerry Jones could say. Here, go ahead, Mike. Here,
he doesn't know what he's talking about.
He could say that, too.
There we go.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
It's interesting he said that when in relation to you saying that the Cowboys and Earl Thomas would not be a marriage, and yet here we are in Week 8 with the team needing back-end help. Earl Thomas does not have this star on the side of his helmet, Ian. You know?
Yeah, it is interesting that the two times that Jerry Jones has specifically not been a huge fan of me publicly, I think one time he said I was an idiot, and then the other time he said, I don't know what I'm talking about. One was when I said Dak would be franchised, which he was. The other is when I said the Cowboys wouldn't sign Earl Thomas, which they haven't. So I guess maybe it's good. Maybe next time if he bashes me, it'll mean, yep, definitely got this one right.
Well, Ian, I think I'm mandated for your sake to move us on from this conversation, just in case your phone lights up from NFL Network and we already need to just move on from that. But in all seriousness, with the Dallas Cowboys at 2-5, this is, and you can't, I mean, the injuries, you could say that they were not even playing well with these people as well. Is there really a possibility? I know we kind of hit it in a way, but is there a possibility that they could be sellers, though? They lose to 2-6 that by this point on Tuesday, they'll start selling people off and decide, you know what, we need to punt on this season. Do you think that's a possibility?
They've tried to. I mean, they tried to sell Dontari Poe. Nobody was buying. They tried to sell Darryl Worley. Nobody was buying. They did sell Everson Griffin. You don't have a ton more of those guys who are going to, like, definitely not contribute, you know, after this year. Like, you know, they signed a bunch of, like, one-year mid-range kind of veterans, and those are the guys who you hope will be the final pieces for a championship team rather than blocking progress for a young up-and-coming team. So I think they decided, like, all right, that trio, you know, we're gonna get rid of them. It'll help the locker room, allow some young guys to play. I'm not sure what else they have because, you know, if there are other guys they would move, it's probably going to be more in the young, pretty good player variety. But then it's like, why would you move those guys? Those guys should be part of your future, not your past.
Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show. Colleague, fantastic colleague at an NFL Network joining me here on the show. So the fact that we haven't seen any trades of significance yet is a sign of what? The fact that we may not see them, or that Sunday's games might prove to be some team's last stand to not sell off? I mean, what do we have here? Or that Sunday's games could lead a team to sell off? What do you think, Ian?
I think, Rich, it's more of a timing issue because we've had some. I mean, we had Yannick Ngakoue get traded. You know, usually that would be trade deadline day, and said it was like a week before or 2 weeks before that. We saw Marcus Golden get traded. We saw Carlos Dunlap and Everson Griffin, two, you know, older dudes, but,
right,
you know, relatively big-time pass rushers get traded. It's really just the trade deadline. I'm not going to say meaningless because I think we'll see some deals, but it's different this year because it felt like the trade deadline was moved up a week because everyone needs 6 days to clear COVID protocols. So, like, clearly the Lions and the Seahawks were planning on their pass rushers being there the following week, so they had to trade for them this week because it takes so long to do anything. So I think the timing really is kind of weird. And, you know, that just changes the overall dynamic of the trade deadline. I still think we'll see probably a couple moves, but it's also different. I mean, you know, this is not the greatest economic market. Obviously, most teams, let's say, not all teams have had fans. So not a lot of people want to take on salary. I think that's probably another thing, too.
Interesting. So that you play that all in there. Is it possible the Patriots are sellers, do you think?
You know, I know they've had conversations. I don't get the sense that they're going to just trade a bunch of guys. I also don't know, like, who would they trade? I mean, you know, the Patriots always do something, so my guess is they probably will. I'm just, you know, looking at their team. I mean, Edelman had surgery today, but he wasn't getting it traded anyway. They're, you know, struggling on the offensive line. I mean, I don't think they're going to trade a quarterback. They don't have enough receivers. Like, you know, Stephon Gilmore is the only name that's interesting, but if you're trading Stephon Gilmore, that basically says, all right, we are not winning the season, definitely. And whoever trades for him is probably going to give, like, a second-round pick. I don't know. Unless there's some major injury that comes next week, I'm not sure I see that either. I don't know. I just think it's a weird year, but I don't think the Patriots are just going to start selling like the Cowboys tried to do.
Well, I mean, Chris, didn't you say that Gilmore?
Yeah, his house is for sale, Ian.
And put a deadline. He put a deadline on it.
House up for sale.
His broker put a line in the.
Yeah, Tuesday 5 o'clock. They want all offers.
Want all offers by Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Is that not the deadline time? Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Or is it four?
It is the deadline. It is the deadline. I'm with you on all the dot connecting.
Yes.
This was my Monday morning.
I love it.
I'm not sure who is going to give up a premium pick and take on, $7 million left and whatever you have to pay him for new contract in very uncertain times, knowing the cap is going down next year. Not saying it's impossible. I mean, he is an awesome player. I think it's more of a, you know, this might be his last year with the Patriots kind of deal rather than he might be traded like Tuesday kind of deal.
Right, because I guess if he walks, the Patriots get a third-round pick, you know, which is another reason why that Ngakoue trade was so remarkable is, you know, Minnesota gets a three from Baltimore, so... You know, instead of the three being a compensatory pick, the three is Baltimore's, and Baltimore knows they'll get the three back if Ngakoue walks, and all it cost him was a five to get a premium pass rusher just in time to send in Big Ben's direction. I mean, that's a huge addition, and you pointed out you broke the story about Dez signing. When does Dez show up, do you think, in the active roster of this team off of the practice squad that he signed with?
I think a couple weeks. You know, so he had a workout in August, and I guess he looked okay, but not great. Like, obviously he didn't look great. They didn't sign him right away. So he went back, got in better shape, showed up, had a workout, was good enough. They signed to the practice squad. He hasn't played in 2 years. You know, and this practice squad thing is interesting because in years past, no veteran would obviously ever be on a practice squad, nor were they even allowed to be. It was insulting. This year is different. COVID has made practice squad almost okay. So you actually have a situation where Dez can work himself back into shape, reacquaint himself with football for, you know, probably 3 or 4 weeks, I think, and then get back on the active roster if he's good enough. I mean, I would say maybe late November would be the thought. And, you know, that adds a really, really interesting wild card to the Ravens, especially if he's good enough to really contribute.
And wild card is the figurative version. I guess the literal version would be Antonio Brown adding a wild card. Was there any competition for Antonio? Was Seattle truly in on them, or that was just in name only? How did this all come about, Ian?
Seattle was definitely in on him. They were interested. I know they talked some money. I don't know specifically that they made an official offer, like, you know, in other words, sent a formal thing in writing. But I know they had multiple conversations with his agents. They also did all the due diligence they did in the summer. So basically everything, all the bit of investigation they did into personal life, his professional life, how he is in the locker room, how he is as a player, they redid all of that. So that was what they were doing basically in the last 2 weeks. And Russ wanted it to happen. And Geno Smith, whose opinion obviously every top evaluator would value, he also wanted Antonio Brown. In the end, the Bucs just wanted him and wanted him faster. And so by the time he was on the plane to Tampa, it was clearly getting done.
Well, I mean,
I think the Bucs were a little more aggressive in doing it.
No, and you know, I understand that Arian says that this was a maneuver that he and Jason Light were involved with. But I mean, this is, I mean, Brady wanted it, right? I mean, Brady's been hanging.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a Tom Brady production. And that's the way, and even though, again, I say that with the respect to these two gentlemen who say it's not a Tom Brady production, it's a Bucs production. But to me, that's the reason why I'm as high on the Bucs as I am now as I was choosing them to be the Super Bowl champs earlier in the year. Is this seems to me is Brady's team. He's comfortable. He's now the player of the month of October. He's got it all set up. He's got his new house set up exactly the way he wants it. And look out. What would you say to that sensibility, Ian?
I think you're right. The Bucs have said, and Bruce Arians has said, it is him and Jason Light. That is definitely true. Those are the guys making the personnel decisions. However, I also know this. When Tom Brady went to teams in free agency, what he told them was he wanted AB and Gronk. So, I mean, Brady may not have done the deal. He certainly didn't do the negotiating. But I know this is what he wanted. And that's okay. I mean, we see GMs and coaches do this from time to time where you have a very vocal player who wants a certain thing. It's a quarterback. He knows what weapons he wants. He knows how they can work together. They spent a lot of time together in New England, even though his stay was short. AB was really good in the building in New England. Outside the building, not as much, but in the building, very good. Brady knows him. So, I mean, Brady definitely wanted this. But I also know unless BA comes around, this definitely doesn't happen.
Before I let you go, Ian, is the Giants game with the Bucs on Monday night in jeopardy based on the news that you were on top of with Tom Pelissero today, that Will Hernandez, the guard, is COVID positive. Other coaches have been sent home. The Chargers have a situation out here right now. But what do you think about the Giants and the Bucs?
As of right now, the game is on and does not seem to be in any distress or whatever you might say. Those close contacts of Will Hernandez include the entire offensive line. It is good, though, because it seems he was wearing his
tracer,
his GPS bracelet, his tracking bracelet. So it's not like Trent Brown where you say, all right, everyone is a high-risk close contact because you weren't wearing your bracelet, so we don't actually know. He was wearing his bracelet. None of those guys are considered high risk. If they test negative, they'll be back in the building tomorrow, and the game will be on as planned and scheduled.
And the Chargers, what do you know about that situation?
One player, a reserve, I believe, tested positive. They found out last night a handful of guys were considered close contacts, so none of those guys are practicing today. One guy is going on the COVID-19 list, and the rest of close contacts are home until they pass a test. So it's, you know, not an outbreak, just really one test, and actually the Chargers' first test since training camp began. So, you know, not what anyone wants, but I think handled the right way.
Ian, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. You take care of yourself. I'll see you on game
Always
day morning on Sunday.
You, Rich. Take care.
You bet. That's Ian Rappaport at Rap Sheet, a must follow. And you'll see him on NFL Game Day morning on Sunday at Rap Sheet. So there's that. Florio's just said the equipment manager for the Buccaneers is positive.
Yeah, a member of the Bucs equipment staff.
Oh, my gosh. It's everywhere, man. Mask up, people. Now then, when we come back, we will all socially distant. Eat our cereal.
Yes.
Okay? So we'll use this two-minute break here on Peacock to fill us up a bowl of Josh's Jacks and come back and empty the phone banks at 844-204-RADIO.
Let's go.
So let's take a break. We'll be back with you, cereal and milk, an unsoggy segment.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Back here on Peacock, before the radio audience rejoins, as promised, we have all poured ourselves a bowl of Josh's Jacks, Josh Allen's cereal. I have not tried it yet. I already see you guys have already eaten it.
I was going to try it on the air.
Okay, ready? Here we go.
I was having some. It's great. Nice and crunchy. Oh.
Yo, this is blueberry.
It's an Applejack.
It's blueberry.
This is like blueberry and Applejack.
Yeah. It's great.
It tastes like Applejacks. That's what he said, right?
That's what he said. Now, there's a quiz on the back
of the
box.
They're red and blue. It's like a loop. It's like a loop situation.
Yo, this is all right, man. I can't from. I haven't eaten cereal in 2 years either. But
I haven't had cereal. I can't tell you the last time I had it.
There's a Josh Allen quarterback quiz?
There's a Josh Allen quiz on the back.
Hold on a second. This is like a...
I don't know where to find the answer.
It's like a kid's cereal.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
I'm 10 years old again.
Well, our radio audience, we're eating Josh's Jacks.
Well,
and
done,
it's
Josh
an Applejack. So there's a, because again, my kids, we don't serve them too many cereals, and they don't usually get a lot of sugar cereals, but they do know, and I loved seeing this because this is what I did too. When you have the cereal, you read the box.
Mm-hmm.
You read the box, you're looking at everything, you're always looking at the box. You're looking at the design, you're looking at the back.
What's in the box?
So he's gone ahead and come up with a quiz, right?
Yeah, there's a Josh Allen's quarterback quiz on the back.
All right, would you like to swallow and read it out? What do you got?
Yeah. The answers, though, we got to go to some website, and you could win a free prize. I bite, but I have no teeth. What am I?
Huh.
A cowboy and his horse ride to a little town on Wednesday. They stay for 2 days and leave Saturday. How is that possible?
Interesting. These are all conundrums.
What begins with an E, ends in an E, but only has one letter?
I.
What sport has four letters, is played all around the world, and begins with T?
Huh.
Why did the football coach go to the bank?
Because he just got fired. Look that answer up.
Forward, I am
sorry,
heavy.
Sorry, kids. Sorry to bring you down.
Forward, I am heavy, but backward, I am not. What am I?
Wheelbarrow.
Forward, I am heavy, but backward, I am not. What am I?
Good one.
I got it. A Bills Mafia tailgate. I don't know.
Table, right. It's a flaming.
That's right.
The beer is cold.
All right, let's go to the phone lines here on the Rich Eisen Show. Al in Atlanta, you are here. What's up, Al?
Hey, Rich.
What's going on?
Calling with a horrible pizza topping and a Product 19 story I'm sure you're going to love.
All right, let's go for it.
The pizza topping that should never, ever been put on pizza, by far, without a doubt, is pineapple.
No, please.
And I'm not a pizza snob.
No question. No question.
I'll put curry chicken on a pizza. I'll put corn on a pizza.
Whoa.
But not pineapple.
I don't understand. People who die on the hill of I love pineapple on pizza are insane.
Don't get it.
They're insane. Where does that rank on our poll question list, Chris?
Pineapple on the pizza.
Second place of the worst pizza foul behind anchovies?
No, it's last, actually. Eating with a fork and knife is second, but anchovies, 44%.
Right. Good Lord.
I knew it.
So what's your Product 19 story?
Okay, so about 4 years ago, back in 2016, my mom was moving back to Atlanta from New Hampshire. And I'm unloading the truck, and I see a box that says Kellogg's on it. And I'm wondering, where'd she go to get a Kellogg's box to pack stuff?
Yep.
I go to pick it up. It's lightweight. And I'm like, what are you packing in this box? She goes, that's my case of Product 19.
Damn straight,
you are not to touch it. I can't find it down here. I found it at a store in New Hampshire. I bought their entire stock. It's my cereal. Do not touch it.
Wow. So your mother is a great woman. And she's she hoarded product 19 back in the day. Is what you're saying?
Yes, she hoarded it and hoarded it to the point where she didn't even get the chance to eat it all. And her biggest shame is there are still boxes in the case that are unedible.
I'll take them. I'll take them.
I know you would, but it's going to be a fight to wrestle even a box away from her. But I
okay, very good. Thanks for the call. Say hi to your mother for me.
If it's just dust, Rich will take it.
I told that story a few weeks ago that a friend of mine snail mailed me a slice of New York pizza when I was in Michigan and I ate it. Please.
I love that story.
I have no shame.
Great story.
I have no shame when it comes to pizza or product 19. Do we have the commercial? Do we really? Okay, let's roll it. Let's roll it.
No, I'm a lucky guy. In college, I won the Heisman Trophy. Then I won a lease. And now I'm a grandfather. But staying on the young side to enjoy these good things takes a lot more than luck. It takes sensible exercise and sensible eating. Like Kellogg's Product 19, the high-potency cereal, with all the minimum daily adult requirements for vitamins and iron.
Tastes good, too. Doesn't it, Lucky?
Want to get back on the young side? Start with Kellogg's Product 19.
I mean,
now, was that his wife? If that is, where was young Mark making that commercial? Was Mark in the background getting ready to go out and kill it in line? Is he UCLA quarterback and star of television shows for decades?
How about his Heisman Trophy just casually in the dining room?
You get 100% of the officially established minimum daily adult requirements of vitamins and iron. Serving in a single ounce of Product 19.
And his wife's calling them Lucky all seductively, like they ate some Product 19.
Stop it now. That is a wholesome commercial for Product 19.
It was a different time in the 70s.
Hey, Lucky.
How dare you?
Hey, Lucky.
How dare you?
Hey, boo.
Todd in New Jersey. I'm keen on this phone call. What's up, Todd?
Hey, Rich, how you doing, man? Fellow Wagner Falcon here. How are you?
So you went to my high school, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm the same age as Jeff. And you went to school with my brothers, actually.
What's your brother's name?
My last name, if I got to give my last name or no.
Yeah, what's your last name?
Yeah, Rutman. My name's Todd Rutman. My brother's with Second Troy.
I remember you. Todd, how you been?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I went to school with Jeff.
Last time I saw him,
he was on Jeopardy, I think it was.
Wheel of Fortune. My brother was on Wheel of Fortune, and he got wiped out. My brother, who was probably just like ready to crush it. He was on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember that. And, yeah, I played ball at Wagner Baseball, and, you know, I remember you quite well, and my brothers were friendly with you. Yeah, but pizza, I'm cracking up laughing because you guys are having so much fun, and it's like just hanging out with the guys in Staten Island, to be honest. Going to Danino's and that other pizza place next to, I forget the name of it, next to Margiano's. Margiano's Sporting Goods store was there in that corner.
Joe and Pat's? You're talking about Joe and Pat's?
There you go.
Come on. Joe and Pat's Pizzeria.
I forget the name of it, man.
Danino's was in the King of Staten Island, the Judd Apatow movie, the Pete Davidson movie. They put Danino's in it.
We were there recently with all the high school reunion guys, baseball players, before the COVID broke out. So we used to go there every year to meet up. Pretty cool. But it's funny, man. I see you and I crack up. It's just like you guys just have fun. The best part is you guys get paid to do this. That's the most amazing.
We are lucky.
Don't tell anyone.
We are. Don't tell anyone.
You guys get paid?
Yeah. We get to eat free cereal for lunch. Ask the poll question of Todd. Go ahead.
Todd, what's the worst pizza foul, eating with a fork and knife, pineapple, or anchovies?
Oh, God. Well, I tell you one thing. If you're from Staten Island, everyone folds the pizza. If you don't, you look at them like they have three heads. That's
exactly.
Number one.
You're out of your mind.
Utensils are out. Hot sauce, to me, is a no-no. Pineapples, I wouldn't even think of it. There's some places in Jersey where I am that are good, but there's nothing like going to the city and hitting that corner store for the 99-cent slice.
No doubt.
And, oh, my God, it's awesome.
What about ranch, Todd? What about ranch?
No way. Stop it. Don't waste this time.
I just like the plain pie, man. I don't need anything on my pizza.
Yeah, you
know,
exactly.
It's simple. I'm a Great Hills guy, you know, so I'm from that area. So, we know a lot of the same people, through your brother.
We sure
do. And my brother, actually, but... Tell him I said hello.
I will do it. Thank you for the call, Todd. That's it. So it's funny. I told one guy, say hi to your mother for me. He says, say hi to your brother for me. What a great show. Fantastic.
That's really cool, man, for you to, like, people from your past calling into your show.
It's great.
I mean, that's got to be amazing.
It's great. And Todd was a wonderful guy. There are some people that wouldn't have given me the time of day in high school. And when they call into my show, my response is, how do you like me now? Right? Is that wrong to say? I did this on purpose. Because, first of all, I don't like to host any. It's terrible.
No.
Bad form. This is the most important bite. I've had this sitting in milk for how long? 3-4 minutes?
4 minutes.
It's been a while.
Is it still
now,
crunchy?
Now, Josh said it was going to stay crunchy.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it. I'm going to try.
Hold on.
You're going to boost the mic?
Boost him up. Oh.
We got crunch.
It is delicious.
Crunch. We have crunch.
Josh is jacks.
I'm giving it two thumbs up.
I'm giving it some approval. Now, I just saw you finishing the milk right there. Good stuff. That's TJ. The good stuff, TJ, right? It's careful. TJ, you're on camera.
Oh, man, come on. Don't wait to me like that.
You're not alone, sir.
I'd like to give a shout out to Brothers Pizza, Lorenzo's Pizza, and Palmino's in Altoona.
All right.
They're the reasons I never had abs, because I ate all their pizza growing up in Altoona. So thank you, guys.
Let's go to Lee in upstate New York. What's up, Lee? How are you?
Good afternoon, Rich.
What's up, brother?
I was going to chime in on your pizza.
Yep.
You talked about New York being the best pizza. You really have to go in upstate New York, where I'm from. They have a sandwich around here, and they call it a speedy sandwich. It's only around here.
Okay. Where's around here? Upstate New York's a very large expanse. Where?
Binghamton.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, yeah.
Right there. There's a SUNY up there. There's a State University of New York up there in Binghamton. Okay.
That's correct. A BU, yeah.
Okay.
Binghamton University.
All right. I'm with you.
Anyways, they have this standard that's cured meat, and it could be anything. It could be chicken, pork, lamb, veal, venison, or beef, and it's all marinated. And what they've done is, around here, they took the chicken part of that, marinated Speedies, and they put it on the top of pizza with the white sauce.
Ooh.
And it's incredible. And to top it off, unlike your previous caller, little hot sauce on there really makes it good.
So you're looking at it right now, Mike?
Do
you give it the Del Tufo check?
I'd take that in a heartbeat.
Venison topping on pizza? I don't know about that.
Let's ship some out here.
Thanks for the call, though. Appreciate it. Up there in Binghamton.
Yeah, it's good.
Down 81 from Syracuse.
Don's like, that's where they got beat up in Rounders.
It is. At the Civil Workers game.
That's a good one.
Hey, you don't try to cheat those guys.
Knife and fork is psychotic to eat pizza. Seriously. Psychotic.
That's the only
it's aggressive.
Time I've
it's
ever
not aggressive. It's
a knife or
you
fork
have a screw loose.
Is a deep dish pizza.
A deep dish, I think, is kind of
it's fine.
Mike, a slice of New York pizza
no, you're
placed
not,
in front of you.
I would have been thrown out of the house.
To then grab for utensils.
No. They would have said, you're out.
Psychotic.
They would have said, live in the treehouse.
I agree.
You're out.
What's the matter with you? You have a problem. We need to work on it. Or stay away from it.
Would you call Dr. Melfi in on this one?
Yes.
Yeah.
But excuse me. No matter what Tony's problems were, he wasn't eating a slice of pizza with a knife and fork.
No.
Come on.
Someone on Twitter just tweeted a little bit ago, the pizza crime conversation currently taking place is the best segment of the last 6 months.
I'm very appreciative of that.
Maybe the best segment. I'm sorry.
I've told you, I've always said this, the two greatest inventions of all time, pizza and air conditioning. Just give me that on a hot day, whatever, I'm done. I don't know what the hell I'm saying now anymore, but please, last thing, I plead anybody out there, find me a photograph of Dick Stockton, Brian Billick, and Brian Baldinger in a booth.
Stop it.
They are Frankenberry, Booberry, and Count Chocula. I'm telling you, I have not lost my mind. Trust me. Enjoy Thursday Night Football. We'll see you on Friday. We're back on Peacock in a second.
With the holidays coming up, we'd like to offer you a little something special. And all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time to help support a great sponsor of this podcast. We ask that you complete a short survey, because your opinion matters to us and our sponsors. It'll only take a couple minutes. And if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastopinions.com and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastopinions.com. The first 150 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. Please go to podcastopinions.com, and as always, thank you for supporting the show.